Everybody gone to children's church that wanted to go? Okay. Some of you older ones may want to go because they may have more fun. All right, we thank you for being in the Lord's house today. We pray that you'll just be blessed. If you're visiting with us, may you just receive the presence of the Lord in a special way. Now, in a few moments, we're going to look from the story or the description of the godly woman in Proverbs 31. So if you want to turn there, you can. Now, let me confess that Mother's Day and Father's Day are the two hardest days for me to preach. I know that Mother's Day can bring a warm, fuzzy feeling of joy and happiness and pleasant memories. If you had a godly mom, you're blessed. If you had godly grandparents, blessed. And some of us can sit here and think about so many wonderful, wonderful, special memories. If you as a parent have good kids, good grandkids, you're blessed. And that means that you're feeling good. But I've had ladies that come to me and say, "Preacher, I won't be at church on Mother's Day." You won't be at church on Mother's Day? No, it brings too many painful memories. Maybe their mom wasn't good. Their mom abandoned them. Maybe they were single and wanted to get married and have kids and never found the right man. Maybe they were married and wanted to have kids, but it just never worked out, never had any kids. And while we celebrate today and rejoice and thank God for our mothers, remember that some folks are hurting. That they're hurting. And it may be the first Mother's Day since your mom went to heaven. Rejoice. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Now, for just a few moments, I want us to look in Proverbs 31 at the story of, or the description of, a godly woman. Now, she, in this description, she's married with kids. But it doesn't have to be. It could be any woman. Actually, it could be any man. The description, when you look at what it says about this person, this woman, many, many wonderful things are said. And it's a goal for which we strive. And it's a goal for which we strive not in our own strength or our own power, but through the power and wisdom of God that enables us to become the kind of person that He wants us to be. Now, the first thing that just hits you is how diligent this lady is in her work life. How diligent she is in her work life. Look at verses 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. And then over in verse 24, if my pages will quit being stuck together. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. You know, this is a hardworking woman. She's busy. She's doing all kinds of things. Now what strikes me is that for you, you know, if you read the old time biographies and even novels going back several hundred years ago, they didn't think you women could do anything but be housewives. the first women that got into medicine were scandalous. You could only be a teacher if you were single. Once you became you were married, you're out. Lost your job immediately. A woman just wasn't given much to do, but yet, and sometimes we people that had that attitude used the Bible. But look at this woman. 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, she's buying land and planting a vineyard. You thought, well, back in Bible days, women only left the house to go to the well and get a pitcher of water. No, this lady's buying land and planting a vineyard. She's interacting with the merchants. She's creating products to sell. It wasn't because she was a widow and had to look after herself. And it wasn't because her husband was henpecked either. Because it says he was known in the gates. In other words, he was a man of honor. A man who was respected. So here, and all that talks about what she's doing makes me tired just to read about it. To think of all that this lady was doing and was diligent. As Christians, we ought to be the best worker anywhere we work, whether it's in the school system, in the medical profession, whether it's in business, or whether it's as a homemaker. We ought to be the best worker there. You know, as Christians, the non-Christians around us are looking at us. They're noticing us. And if they see us diligent in that job, it gives them more of a respect for us as believers. And if they see us slacking off, lazy, haphazard, they say, you know, I don't know whether that Christianity stuff really works or not. Here was a lady that was diligent in her business. There's also a lady that cared about people who were less fortunate. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she stretcheth forth her hand to the needy. All around us, there are people who have need. And our Christian compassion calls upon us to look around us and see, how may I help? It may be volunteering at something like the West Stanley Christian Ministries or the Pregnancy Crisis Center. It may be don't know why it hit me, but you know, years ago everybody had to go to Charlotte for cancer treatment. And I think it was the Lions Club in Albemarle had designated drivers that would drive people back and forth to Charlotte. And I was like the third sub, you know, for one of those. You know, when the regular driver couldn't go, then. And I remember driving some people to Charlotte, putting them out for the cancer treatment and then picking them up. It wasn't any big deal for me, but it meant so much to them. There are all kinds of ways that we can minister to those who are less fortunate than we are. We may think, well, I don't have much. But what we have, we can share. What we have, we can share. He says, this lady took notice of those who were poor and less fortunate. Verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her words were a blessing to other people. Think about the people that you know and that you talk with. Are there some of them that when you leave their presence, you feel dirty? They're so vile, so vulgar that it just messes you up to be around them. But are there some that when you're around them, it's just like you feel clean, you feel joy, you feel blessed. You just like to be in their presence because their words build you up and encourage you and bless you in so many ways. The book of James, the writer of James, talks about our tongue and how it can be used to be a blessing. I know you're just like I am. There's times you said something and you could reach out and grab it and stuck it back in. Why in the world did I say that? How much better it is when we say words and speak in such a way that we bless others. Her words were a blessing. Be the kind of believer, the kind of Christian that folks enjoy being in your presence. They enjoy talking with you because they know you're going to say something that's a blessing, that's an encouragement, that's straight out of the Word of God. You know, Jesus could be so strong in condemnation of sin, but at the same time, He had such words of blessing and kindness and peace and joy that little children used to love to come and hang around Him. I've always thought, you know, little children and puppy dogs know who the good people are. You know, when you find somebody that little children shy away from or that puppy dogs shy away from, you better look at them twice. Little children know who loves them. Little children know who is a blessing. Here was a lady whose words were a blessing. Here was a lady who was an asset to her family. And, just practically every verse, her heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Verse 11, so she will have no need him spoiled. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. If we were to go around the room and we were to each describe our family dynamic, it would be different for many of us. Maybe a husband, wife, maybe just a widow or a widower. It may be just one person and a brother or sister. Like with me, I have one brother left and then I have some cousins. And I know people that hardly have anybody left but just a cousin. But in the family dynamic, we can be a blessing to one another. Be a blessing to your family. Let your family know that you love them. You know that sometimes when you have a family reunion, there's a certain uncle that you hope doesn't show. Don't be that uncle or that aunt. As a Christian, we ought to be the kind of person that whenever they're giving a family reunion, you're saying, I hope he or she's there. Because they add so much. They bring so much joy. They bring so much blessing to the family. What a joy it is whenever we are a blessing to one another and our families know we care about them and they're loved. This woman, as you see all of the interactions she has with her family, it was a blessed relationship. She wasn't too busy with her work to take care of her family. Her family was blessed. You know, sometimes we get so busy with our work that we come to the end of life or sometimes after our kids are grown and married and left home and we wonder, what do we have left? What do we have left? May we have a godly relationship with all of those family members. But the key of it is, verse 29 and 30, her relationship with the Lord. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Right there is the key to the whole deal. Our relationship with the Lord. You know, you can't help the looks that you were born with. You can do your best to improve them, but we can't help the way we were born. But as he says, you know, favor is vain, beauty is deceitful. It was so interesting to go back to my 20th high school class reunion. And some of those girls that I wouldn't have wanted to date anyway at all in high school, 20 years later, they were beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. How they had matured and had learned. You know, maybe it's a girl that grew up poor and she didn't know how to fix her hair, couldn't afford stuff, but, you know, 20 years later, she was beautiful. But then I was so shocked. There was a couple that came in. They got married in high school. And I didn't go back and look, but I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't in the voted most beautiful or most handsome or best looking in the class. And they came into that reunion, they looked like they'd been sleeping under a bridge. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. We need to do the best we can with what we've got to work with. But the real beauty is from the Lord. The real beauty is from the Lord. You know those old time painters, they'd paint those saints with a halo over their head? They weren't far off. A man or a woman that has the glory of the Lord on them, it's evident. There are certain ladies that I know that if I were looking at them from the standpoint of a Hollywood casting director, I'd never pick them for the lead. Their nose is too big or the teeth aren't straight or something. They just don't fit the image of a beautiful woman. And yet if you woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and asked me about them, I'd say, oh, she's beautiful. Why? Because the glory of God is all over her face. They love Jesus. They love Jesus. And because they're in love with Jesus and because they know Him and because they involve their lives in the Lord. There's a glow about them. There's not a little round halo over their head, but there's a glow about them that shows forth the dynamic of the presence of the Lord. And that beauty doesn't fade with age. If that person is walking with the Lord, that beauty grows more beautiful with age. And what an awesome thing it is to see a lady 70, 80, 90 years old that is so in love with Jesus that she just glows with His presence. And you know when you're in His presence because of the way she talks, the way she acts, the way she loves you in the name of Jesus. You see, that's the key to the whole thing. A woman that fears, that honors, that has a relationship with the Lord, she's the one that's going to get the praise. Now you see, when we live this kind of life, verse 28 says that you're honored by your family. Her children rise up and call her blessed, blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. We're going to receive honor from our family. We're going to receive honor from others. That's verse 30. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's going to be known and honored. And then, you know, the verse that begins this, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The question is posed in such a way to say, you know, there are not many of them. You got to look for it. And it's more valuable than a precious jewel. But we can be that kind of Christian. You can be that kind of Christian. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. The Holy Spirit is available to every believer. God's word is powerful to every believer. And if we strive through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be diligent in our work, if we strive to care about people, if we strive to watch what our tongues say, if we strive to bless our family, and if we strive to grow deeper and deeper and more present in our relationship with the Lord, we can be that rare person. That the Lord honors. Each of us have different situations. But each of us can become a godly man or woman. And I'm not saying you aren't. But what I'm saying is we can grow more and more and more like Jesus. If they put on our tombstone something that says he was a man or a woman in whom others could see Jesus, there's no greater thing they could say. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Look deep down inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If this were the last day of your life, where would you spend eternity? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now would you invite Him in? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. But I know you're the Savior, and I invite you into my heart and life to be my Lord and my Savior for all of eternity. And if you do that, when we sing an invitation hymn, would you walk down the aisle and share that with the church? Are there areas of your life where you could become more like Jesus? In your work, in your words, in your relationship with your family, in your spiritual walk? Would you commit that to the Lord anew and afresh? Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit speak in the lives of your people here this day, and that we might say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our hymn of invitation, if you need to come and make any decision, we invite you to come.